So this is an interesting story. Evidently, the woman who was the Secretary of State in Washington State, evidently she is being put forth as the head of the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency. She is a Republican. In fact, one of the few Republicans who challenged the former guy's narrative on the election fraud and the claims there. So a good choice, maybe. We'll find out. At the end of the day, we need somebody in that position who's going to bring some bit of sanity back, maybe some integrity kind of stuff, maybe some, I don't know, maybe by choosing a Republican, this was a good idea. Maybe it reached some of them. Or is the Republican Party too far gone? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But here to share some thoughts and ideas on where we are, especially around the election claims, I've asked our good friend Jared Yates Sexton to come back and talk with us. Jared is an author, political analyst, and host of the Muckrike podcast. His book, American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. Jared, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
So what do you think of this this Kim Wyman now evidently going to head up this important part of the Department of Homeland Security?
I got to tell you the honest to God truth, Rick. I don't know how anybody puts the R next to their name right now. I mean, you know, this is a moment of conscience, and I really don't know how you stay with the party. Like, you can sit there and say that you want to make good on something or try and fix this party, but it's time for the Republican Party to go away. It's time for something else to come out that has some sort of a principle or some sort of a, I don't know, a tether or a foundation to reality. It gives me a little bit of the willies, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I saw it and I'm going, I get the idea of reaching across the aisle. You want to bring someone from the other party. You want to show some bipartisanship. And maybe the idea that, this person's going to have a little more, Republican value. But I got to tell you, most of the folks I know, we're solidly in the camps. I don't know if that works anymore.
Yeah, I don't. I would really want to hear from somebody what they think Republican principles are. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Oh, they're for small government. That's why they want to do everything possible to get into your lives. Oh, they're fiscally conservative. That's why they run up the biggest deficits imaginable. Oh, they're socially conservative. That's why the former guy had a relationship with a porn star. I mean, when you really start going down the line, these principles aren't real. These are cudgels to try and gain power. So if you have an R next to your name, I'm sorry, but you got a lot of explaining to do at this point.
At this point, you're absolutely right, especially when you look at what happened on January 6th. I don't know how you explain that away as, it was just a frat party like we saw former Sheriff Clark say over the weekend at that crazy Q quack convention in Vegas. It certainly wasn't a normal day of tourists, as some have said. It was an insurrection. It was an attempt, a coup attempt to overthrow our government.
No, it absolutely was. And now to even hear them try and explain it, I mean, that's when you know that your alibi is bad, is when everybody has a different one. And at this point, some of them were tourists, some of them were exercising their rights as patriots. Other people, Rick, I don't know if you've heard of this one, they were being entrapped by the FBI. I mean, it was a real mess. So no, I don't know how you stand to the side when your party literally tried to overthrow an election. And, to be honest with you, anybody who was a Republican back in 2000 when they stole the election, I don't know how you stayed there. So at this point, that rolling momentum of this party's decay and self-destruction, like, you really got to take a look in the mirror.
Yeah, but, it's interesting you brought up 2000, because I was just talking about a CNN article where they were taking Terry McAuliffe to task for claiming that the election in Georgia was stolen with Stacey Abrams, because they did. They purged a bunch of voters off the voting rolls. A bunch of people were not allowed to vote because he purged them. And the AP, who I view as middle of the road, they're saying about 70% of the people who were purged were minority voters. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist, doesn't take a genius, doesn't take Einstein to figure out that if 70% of the voters who were purged were minorities, they were probably going to vote for the minority candidate. Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, let's call it like it is. I mean, Kemp stole the election down here. I mean, he is my quote-unquote governor in the state that I live in. Everybody who doesn't have their heads stuck in the stands understands that he stole this election. And by the way, they're gearing up to try and steal another one. And that is why we have to look at this Republican Party and not just Donald Trump. I say this all the time. Donald Trump was a symptom. He wasn't the disease. This party is decayed and debauched and is anti-democratic. And is looking literally to stick a dagger in the heart of democracy. And that is who they are. That is what they represent, and that is how they behave.
Now, we saw the Rolling Stone bit this week that came out and said that, I guess what we honestly, what we already knew is that there were a number of Republicans who, have put themselves out in front. But they've said that these people were in active meetings, they were active in negotiating and putting all this stuff together, which I think is, kind of treasonous.
Well, I mean, Rick, let's be fair. Who amongst us has not taken a meeting about overthrowing an election? I mean, really, I mean, that's just part and parcel of being part of the political game, really. Somebody comes and talks to you about betraying the will of the nation, you talk. Looking at what we've discovered and what we've known, because none of this was particularly hidden. Right? Seeing it in black and white makes it obvious what has happened. But I mean, you look at this and you have a cadre of traitors. And we're not just talking about representatives, we're talking about the chief of staff to the president of the United States of America. We're talking about campaign individuals. We're talking about Donald Trump, like a C-rate organized crime boss trying to tell Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States of America, beautiful democracy you got there. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. I mean, this was not just a stain and not just a warning. Like, this is going to be go down as one of the low points in American history.
No, it is. There's unquestioningly, but it's been interesting watching some of the names on the list. Mo Brooks yesterday throwing his staff under the bus, saying, "Well, maybe it was them," when he was the guy wearing the body arm. He was wearing body armor to this event. He knew something was going to go on, and now he's kind of stepped that back a little bit. He's trying to unthrow them under the bus.
Rick, the thing about this is you got Marjorie Taylor Greene, you got Louie Gohmert, you got Mo Brooks. I think when you take a look at this, this might be one of the few times where somebody uses the stupid defense in court, which is, these are the dimmest bulbs that the Republican Party has to offer. So maybe they can go out and say that they didn't understand words. I don't know, but they have shown more or less that they had a will to try and overthrow this election. And depending upon what they said and who they said it to, I think it's pretty cut and dry at this point exactly what they did.
Now, my favorite one was Marjorie Taylor Greene. There was a story today that caught my attention that it was a riot, and admitted it's a riot that got out of control. And that by investigating it, and this was her words, investigating it will end up, getting people like me killed.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a reason not to investigate a potential coup. I have to say, Marjorie Taylor Greene gets a lot of grief out there, but she is just an absolute wonderful example of how a CrossFit enthusiast can really serve in the United States Congress and just really bring a lot of an intellectual heft and integrity. It really is a group of people that it's the gang that sh couldn't shoot straight. But they're literally going to play around and they're going to try and overthrow the government again. I mean, that's where this thing is going. Until some of these people get held accountable and until we actually investigate this, we're in danger of this group of nincompoops actually somehow or another putting something together that could put American democracy in peril.
No, and we see it every day, I think, coming out of these people, because you give them credit. They show up everywhere. They're at all of these events to keep riling up the base, to keep believing this big lie. And every day we see stories of someone who they absolutely believe Donald Trump's still president, and he's coming back, and they believe all of these crazy, weird, way out conspiracy nonsense things. And you go, where is this stuff coming from? How do you believe this stuff?
Well, and a lot of it, and this is the sad truth about it, a lot of it comes from a place where the people who believe it, they're looking for something. You know what I mean? And before we started recording this, we were talking about the strikes and the labor protest. A lot of those people have been sitting around waiting on something to get involved with, a crusade to be a part of, something larger than themselves. And for some people, you go and you shut down an exploitative business. Other people think it's about overtaking the government or throwing their weight behind a military coup. The difference in this entire situation is that the Republican Party and the wealthy and the powerful who bankroll them and use them as a PR firm front have figured out you can fill them with all kinds of poisonous lies so that they're not going to be mad at you, who they deserve to be mad at. And instead, we're going to put it on vulnerable populations. We're going to say it's George Soros. We're going to say it's the traitors, liberals. It's labor unions, right? It is anybody except for the people that have actually exploited these people. And that's what's happening here, is it's a redirection and a misdirection of the anger that these people rightfully deserve.
And now we see coming out, when you're talking, Facebook, deliberately brought these people together based on their happy smiley face emojis or angry face emojis. And the angry face emoji got the most push, the most their algorithm pushed that one out the most, so we could keep people infuriated and angry and all tangled up in the panties and so that they would keep falling down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, Rick, I just want you to really get steady in your chair. I don't want to bowl you over with this, but it turns out that American corporations, they don't care if the way that they make profit hurts people and or really overthrows democracy in totality. And what we saw here, and I was trying to tell people about this yesterday, this Facebook thing, it's not just Facebook.
Right.
This is the exact same thing that has led these corporations and the wealthy to destroy organized labor, to make sure that people don't get paid anybody, to make sure that cigarettes, which they knew that caused cancer, were getting peddled out there, one product after another. I think baby powder a couple of years ago was causing unbelievable amounts of damage. The energy companies know that they're causing climate change. They know what's happening, but their pursuit of profit at all cost is always destructive. It just so happens that now with Facebook, we have a radicalizing machine that distorts reality that acts by the same principles, which is why they have to be reined in. They can't help themselves.
No.
This is who they are and how they operate.
No, they're just going to change their name, though, Jared. I mean, and that'll fix everything. That'll make it all better.
Rick, they want to throw us into a virtual reality that they have designed. And I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't trust them to put together a buffet, much less an alternate reality that the rest of us are supposed to float around in without, anything below our midsections. If you've taken a look at any of these pictures, I mean, it is a howling nightmare. But that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to rebrand and they're going to figure out a way to make more money and gain more power. I mean, that's who these people are. And until somebody tells them no, it's only going to get worse.
So, is there any hope in this whole mess? I mean, because I'm looking at things and I'm going, it isn't getting better. We're in a little lull period right now because Biden's not crazy, but the Democrats aren't doing anything to light the world on fire. We can't seem to get this infrastructure thing done right, which should have been done months ago. I see next year as a bloodbath, and then 2024, we're right back where we were, 4 years ago. Do you see any hope in this?
I'm going to be honest, I'm actually more hopeful than I've been in a very long time. And a large part of it has to do with the labor protest. It's people waking up and realizing that you can't wait on saviors to do it for you. And listen, I'm as frustrated as anybody that the Biden agenda can't get passed. But I do also think it's a good thing that people are starting to look at the Democratic Party and say, you know what? Maybe these people like Manchin and Sinema, maybe it's not a good thing that they're part of our party. And maybe we need to go towards something else. Maybe we need to go back to, before the Democratic Leadership Council started pushing things in the, towards corporations and toward the wealthy. Maybe we need to go back to those traditional constituents, and maybe the party needs to change. So I'm actually very hopeful right now, to be honest with you.
No, I'm glad to hear you're hopeful. I'm not so hopeful. I fear we get nothing out of this infrastructure plan. I fear they keep shooting themselves in the foot till we get nothing. And then, I've had people tell me if I don't get this in that plan or this in that plan, I'm not turning out next year. You go, well, how's that going to be helpful?
Yeah, but the thing about this is it's really making it apparent, I think, to people, because nothing in this bill is radical. Nothing at
Nothing.
all is what you would even call liberal. This is actually making up for lost time. is what it is. This is common sense stuff that, by the way, the Republicans would have introduced decades ago. This wouldn't have even have been a Democratic project. I think that transparentness of how broken this process is, and quite frankly, how craven some of these people are, I think it's going to make it obvious that there needs to be some sort of a sea change. And so I do think people are going to show up, but I also think we're going to start seeing some more people to the left. I really do. I think we're going to see some primaries, and I think we're going to get see some people getting behind grassroots efforts.
I hope so. And like I said from the beginning, on election night, 2020, as everyone was worried about the votes, I was getting ready to lead a strike, locally here of 55 workers who, three quarters of them voted for Trump. But in that moment, they were all united in fighting that righteous fight. And I'm all about bringing back that righteous fight and going there. Last question I wanted to ask you. Thoughts on the new Trump social media platform, Truth Social.
My thoughts are best of luck to him in all of his future endeavors, which include probably getting hacked once a week, maybe every couple of days. Just a massive amount of misinformation. I can't even imagine how many fake followers they're going to make for him. I mean, listen, whenever somebody can get lost in their own mind palace, I just say best of luck. Take care.
They're not going to tweet, they're going to truth and then retruth. And then, you could re-retruth.
I will say this, and I think that you have a lot of experience in this. Anytime somebody has to say out loud, "I'm telling you the truth," it's not a good sign. I mean, like, if you have to say it in so many words, something went wrong somewhere along the way. So for them to call it truth, I think tells us everything we need to know.
It's hysterical to me, but evidently they're going full bore forward. And look, I can't wait to get my account. I was hoping to get, maybe a Donald Trump one.
I love it. We should go in on one and just ride that wave out because I think it's going to be a heck of a show. I really do. I think watching that convertible jump off the cliff is it's going to be a good time. I'll just say that.
There you go. Good stuff. Jared, as always, I appreciate the time, man. Great talking with you.
Thanks, buddy.
Our good friend Jared Yates Sexton. Make sure you check out his book, American Rule: How a Nation Conquered the World, but Failed Its People. Also, check out his podcast, The Muckrake Podcast. We'll get links out on social media on how you can do that. Quick break, right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.